Coach, where do you guys go after a 58-0 loss?
Well, hopefully better. That's about as bad as you can be. So I would say we've got a good chance to improve from that.
Kent Summers warming up in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Okay. What's gone wrong, if you can summarize, since you guys started 4-0?
Well, gosh, you know, there's been a lot of things, whether it's injuries or, you know, different players in different spots. We've had breakdowns at certain times. I mean, we've been close in a lot of games and just haven't been able to pull them out. You know, we had one bounce off the upright against Buffalo to win the game at the end, and then we lost that in overtime, and then we just had a couple of different games, different situations. So basically we haven't made the plays when we've had chances to do that, and we've turned the ball over in critical situations offensively, haven't scored enough points. You know, there's all kinds of things. We've haven't been enough in sync.
How much does it hurt a team overall not to be able to settle on a quarterback, just the whole team itself?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's an important position. Obviously, you want to have some continuity there, and we've had injuries. You know, we've had different players play different ways, and it's tough. I mean, that's an important position. So, you know, you see teams struggle when they lose their starter, and, you know, we haven't been able to get any kind of continuity at that position this year.
Coach, Jim Schwartz has said it last week and said again Monday that sometimes it's easier to for a team to come back from a big blowout loss as opposed to losing a close one where maybe one or two people get singled out for being at fault. What do you think about that? Is it easier to come back from a big loss like this and just wipe the board clean?
I don't know. You know, I think people say, you know, you lose some close when it kind of tears you apart, and you say, I'd rather have just lost it big. And now after this last week, I didn't like that very much. So I don't know that it's not easy to come back from any type of defeat, especially when you've had the number that we've had. So you just have to make sure that you focus on your next opponent and trying to work hard. Our guys have done a good job with that. But, you know, it was tough. There was a lot of things that went on in that game, and it was kind of a snowball effect. But still, to lose a game like that is, you know, is very difficult.
Coach, you obviously have Larry Fitzgerald, who's an extremely talented receiver. What can you give us your thoughts on Calvin Johnson?
Same thing. Extremely talented receiver. He's having a great year. You know, he's a guy you definitely have to be aware of when you play this team. The quarterback does a good job of getting the ball, and you know he is an outstanding player.
What do you make of the matchup with Calvin and Patrick Peterson? How well do you think Patrick can, you know, cover him? How much help will he need?
I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out. I know that he's gotten open and made plays all year, so you understand that. We've just got to try to do the best job we can of trying to contain him. It's not easy. You know, he's a very good football player. I like Patrick, too, though. He's been working hard and has had a good year for us, and I know that he's excited to play in this game, whether he's on Calvin or, you know, however it plays out or not, depending on how they match things up.
Ken, does part of you, maybe not this week, but is part of you rooting for Calvin to break Jerry Rice's record? I mean, is that something that would be special in any way?
Well, as a fellow Georgia Tech alum, I'm always pulling for him to do that. Not this week, but certainly after this week, absolutely.
Realistically, Calvin's kind of been sort of, you know, asserting his will in most games. What I'm sure it'd be everybody's hope to shut him down, but realistically, what can you do to Calvin? I mean, just try to limit him, or the Packers are pretty physical with him. What kind of, you know, looks is he going to get?
Well, it depends on, you know, there's so many variables about where he's going to line up and what he's doing. I think that you have to have a plan going in to try to contain him, understanding he's going to make some plays. The great ones do, and they do a very good job offensively of making a lot of plays. You know, they get a number of different playmakers, and it's not just Calvin, but you certainly have to be aware of him. So they present challenges, and we know that it's going to be, you know, a difficult task, but you try to have a plan going in to limit his ability to hurt you.
You guys have given up a lot of sacks this year. What's the state of your offensive line at this point?
Well, it's in flux. We've had a couple of different changes there. We've played a little bit better over the last few games as far as not giving up as many sacks, but we had a stretch there in the middle part of the season where it was tough. We're playing two rookie tackles, and we've had a couple of injuries at center. But, you know, that's part of this game. Our guys are – well, hopefully we're going against a good front here in Detroit, and we're very aware of their ability to create pressure with a four-man rush. So it's going to be a real challenge for us.
What did you see in Brian Hoyer?
Well, we have one of our personnel guys was in New England with him and has always spoken highly of him. And obviously he went to Pittsburgh for a little while, so we got some more information about him from some of our former colleagues there. All of it was very positive. So, you know, as far as being able to look at a quarterback, and that's what you want to do. So that's why we brought him in here.
What's the mental state, Coach, of your team after you've lost nine straight and after a 58-0 loss? I mean, where are you guys mentally entering this game?
Well, you know, we're focused on this week. Our team has done a great job of putting it behind them week to week, not so much focusing on that and the negativity of that, but trying to get ready for your next opponent. I mean, they work hard in practice. They're good in the meetings, and I think that's the way you have to be. So they'll be, you know, it's not fun. It's not easy in the league when it's like this, but, you know, they'll be ready to go, and hopefully we'll play well.
Focusing on next week is a line we hear from a lot of coaches. Jim Schwartz used it. But fans take a view that you may be on a losing streak. Do you think it's difficult to convince them that it is actually, all right, put it to bed on Sunday, move on Monday, and go forward?
Convince who?
Fans who might be upset with where the team is at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, your fans are always going to be upset when you're going through what we're going through. I understand that. They want to see their team win. So, you know, your hopes are that they get fired up and come in and support you on game day. And our fans have been good that way. Although, you know, that's what this business, the NFL, is all about. You know, they certainly, as fans who pay their money to support you, have their right to voice their opinions. We understand that. But our fans have been good, and hopefully that we'll be able to do something good for them this week.
Coach, you had 8 turnovers last week. Is that a fluky thing, or is that something, you know, you can work to stop this week?
It better be a fluky thing. You know, we're not going to have much success, if any, if we have 8 turnovers. That I can guarantee you.
Can you take us back into your draft room when you guys took Patrick Peterson? The Lions tried to move up to get him. What were the discussions like in there, and how seriously did you guys entertain those offers?
We felt good about Patrick. We knew where we were picking at that spot, that we were going to get an outstanding football player, and there were a couple of guys that we were prepared to pick at that point. And when we saw Patrick available to us, there was never any question that we were going to pick him, not only just because of his talent and what he brings to the table, but also his character and the type of person he is. So, you know, we have been very pleased with Patrick and what he's brought to our team.
How strong did the Lions come to try to get you to change your mind?
You know, I don't even, to be honest with you, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I don't even remember, because you go through so many different scenarios since then.
What does it mean, Ken, to have a premier cornerback in the back end there?
Well, it definitely helps when you've got a young guy that you think can be one of the better players in the league at that position. But I think it means more that you've got the type of leadership that he provides, a young guy that is always working hard to get better. You know, he doesn't have an ego. I mean, he feels confident in his ability to do things, but, boy, he'll do anything you ask him to do, and he works hard and just a fine young man and a fine player.
Can I ask you, just, Coach, just one thing that's got nothing to do with football, might be a little more fun to talk about. We talked about you from Georgia Tech and you have Georgia connections. You were on an interview earlier this year. You talked about breaking power or shooting power at Augusta. What was that like?
Boy, that seems like a distant memory right now.
Well, this is a golf mad area, too. What was that like?
It was obviously very exciting. I think that having grown up in that area and worked the scoreboards when I was a young man at that tournament, when you get a chance to play it, and then you happen to play well one of those days, you know, just from the memories it creates for you, and also remembering some of the shots and holes that you've seen played as you're playing it. It's a special experience.
What did you need on 18 to hit par?
I needed it par.
And what did you do?
Well, I hit it
this
in the bunker.
This is like the press tent.
I hit it in the bunker off the tee and left it short of the green. So I knocked it, chipped it up to 10 feet, and made the putt for par. So it was like I was had just won the tournament. I was so excited because, to me, shooting par was a pretty significant thing.
Did you play from the members' tees or from the tips?
A combination.
Where was the flag on 18?
It was on the back tier.
Oh, okay.
Did you give it the Mickelson leap, or did you just...
You know what? It's funny. My caddy did.